And it is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Food and Dining has finally arrived. I'm with chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer. She'll be taking the helm of the program. Our longtime friend and colleague, wine columnist and reporter Fred Tasker is back in the studio. And we have Linda, a Food Network celebrity and famous restaurateur, with us.
We sure do. So Joe and Bonnie, Chopped. Kind of sounds ominous, don't you think? Well, actually, it's a TV show and one of the Food Network's most popular shows. It's chefs who are pitted against chefs for another reality food show. And our guest is Scott Conant, and he's a judge on Chopped. He also wears many other hats. He's the owner of Scarpetta Restaurants, one of them at the Fontainebleau in Miami Beach, and he's a cookbook author. His latest book is Bold Italian. Welcome, Scott Conant. Are you with us?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And we'd also have our listeners to be with us. Do you have any questions for our guest? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email, that's radio@WLRN.org.
And as Joe mentioned, we've got Fred in the studio. Indeed. Instead of by Skype today.
In the flesh.
Yes.
He's looking well, too.
Right, and you can read Fred's...
It's all that snow.
That's right. He's hale and hearty.
He says he loves the snow. But you can read Fred's wine column in today's Miami Herald. And Fred, what's in your glass today?
Well, I thought I'd talk about some of the Italian wines of the snow-covered Alps.
Well,
just so I don't have to be without my snow.
Okay. Let's go to Scott Conant. Scott, Chopped. How does the contest work, and where did the name Chopped come from?
Well, the way it works is there's four chefs that are competing against one another, and that each chef gets a basket of ingredients. It's a really, some really kind of far out fun ingredients as well. Fun to cook with, maybe not so much fun to eat sometimes. They'll have anything from a sirloin steak to gummy worms. You just don't know what they're going to get.
Gummy worms?
The candy.
Yeah.
Oh.
The candy.
not in the same dish, I hope.
Really, in the same dish, they'll have four ingredients, and you know it'll stem from some kind of fruit, a vegetable, sometimes a piece of candy, a protein, and the key is that it's kind of like a puzzle. I mean, each one of these baskets has some kind of flavor combination that could work, but we don't, as judges, see these baskets until the day of.
Scott, we kind of have a crummy telephone connection with you. Could you maybe move around wherever you are? I know you're on cell.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's better.
There you go. What was that? That's much better, Scott.
Is that okay?
That's
perfect.
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, yeah, we as judges don't see any of these ingredients beforehand, but there'll be mornings where we start shooting very early, and at 8 a.m. we'll have a plate of duck testicles in front of us that we just don't know.
duck? Did they have them?
Gee, I had that for breakfast.
Far from delicious sometimes.
So this goes on all day. So by the time we've seen the show, it's all been cut. It's not all in real time.
Yeah, it's about a 12-hour shoot for us. But the show is about an hour long. So it's cut down to about 44, 46 minutes.
So why Chopped? Where does that name come from?
Well, so Chopped means, as each of the chefs compete in each round, one of them will be chopped from moving forward. The
axed.
Judges' table is the chopping block. Yeah.
Okay, so it could have been called axed. Is that what it is?
Could have been called a bunch of things, really.
So
not
is
delicious
it,
more often than not.
But is it true? I mean, what we see, is it real? I mean, are those chefs actually doing that kind of cooking and coming up with those dishes for you?
Oh, they actually are. In the appetizer round, they have 20 minutes. In the main course and dessert rounds, they have 30 minutes. And, you know, I made a promise to myself a very long time ago that, I'm a chef. I have restaurants, and a real chef, not a TV chef. So I made a promise to myself that if I were going to do any television, it was going to be real and it was going to have integrity. And that was the key for me. So this show does.
For most people, cooking is a relaxing sideline. Why is it so popular to have this hyperventilated, intense competition? Why is that so popular?
You know what? If I could answer that question, I'd be making a lot more money than I currently am.
I think the general public wants to see suffering.
Maybe you're right.
Go ahead. Do you have
Scott, we have an emailer for you. I'm a big fan of Chopped, and I'm wondering why Scott isn't fond of raw red onions. Also, what is the worst dish batch of ingredients he's ever eaten on the show?
This raw red onions has been all over the internet. Scott, what's this all about?
They give me a lot of grief for the onions. You know,
from Melissa.
Alyssa, let me explain this. We're talking about cooking and developing flavors and haute cuisine. We're not talking about going to a deli and throwing some ingredients together. So I have, it's a little tough love that I give sometimes on this show, and I really want these chefs to excel. And also, I think it's a great opportunity for them to learn something and maybe be a little bit more thoughtful than they would otherwise be. And hopefully they can walk away with that in mind, just being a little bit more thoughtful for the ingredients. And, a big pile of raw red onions on a plate is not, for me, it's not developing or nuancing flavors. For me, it's overpowering flavors. And unless that raw red onion is an actual ingredient in the dish, I think you're overpowering the other ingredients on the plate.
She also wants to know, what's the worst dish batch of ingredients you've ever eaten on the show?
Well, anything with durian.
Oh, you have to explain what durian is. I'm laughing. I know what it is, but go ahead. Explain what it is.
Durian is an Asian melon, and it is very pungent. It's extremely, extremely, I mean, it's, for lack of a better word, it just really stinks. It's extremely offensive, I find. I love, ripe cheeses and deep flavors and all that kind of stuff. But I find durian really, it's on my list of three ingredients that I just will not eat. I just find it wildly offensive.
Well, actually, you're right. I mean, durian, if it's in the room and they open it up, you just want to run the other way.
Where's it from?
Southeast Asian.
I was in Bangkok one time, and the restaurants would ban it from their premises because it just stunk up the whole place.
But some people love it.
Well, the
really
flavor is great. It's the aroma that's awful. The flavor, if you hold your nose, the flavor is good.
Well, I don't think Scott
which
thinks
you,
so.
I'm sure is what you want to do with your food.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Let's go on to some other flavors, all right? Let's talk about bold Italian flavors. Now, you own Scarpetta Restaurant here at the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami Beach, and you have several other Italian restaurants, Italian-style restaurants.
One in Toronto, right?
Yes, and are you opening one in Los
Vegas.
Angeles now?
I'm in Los Angeles right now. I have one in Beverly Hills. I have a Scarpetta in Las Vegas at the Cosmopolitan Hotel, and one in New York City. It's an independent restaurant on 14th and 9th.
Okay, so bold Italian flavors. What did you mean by that? What are the bold flavors?
Well, when I was writing this book, the one thing that I really wanted people to appreciate and maybe experience were deep, assertive flavors. So not one-dimensional flavors, but rather flavors that would really come together well and be very harmonious. I think from a marketing perspective, the people who had the publisher really felt that bold Italian cooking was something that would stand out as a title. My first book was called New Italian Cooking, so you can only use that once. So bold Italian, it may resonate as far as the flavors go, but there really are a lot of nuances inside those flavors as well as being very assertive and bold.
So what should we have in our kitchen if we're going to be doing some bold flavored Italian cooking? What are some of the essentials?
Well, I'm a big believer in understanding the history of Italian food and really understanding what makes it great in the first place. So, a little bit of garlic, extra virgin olive oil, and crushed red pepper are pretty much staples for a lot of the dishes that I make. And I think that's really important. I think few people who really love pasta would argue that a spaghetti spaghetti aglio olio, spaghetti with garlic, olive oil, peperoncino, crushed red pepper, is one of the best pastas ever if it's done properly.
Well, so, you know, I'm glad to hear that, because so often we get Italian food and it's just drowned in tomato sauce and or pasta sauce, and we don't get any other flavor.
Yeah, I agree with you. I try to stay away from those kind of restaurants, and I definitely don't cook that kind of food. I grew up in a very traditional kitchen environment. It's like very French food. I went to CIA. I traveled through Europe. I worked in Germany and Italy and things like that. And what I've learned over the years is that, you know, it's really the simplicity and the perfect execution of those dishes that's going to be what people walk away with and the most memorable.
And have really wonderful flavors. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guest today is food TV celebrity Scott Conant. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Food Network celebrity Scott Conant. He's a judge on the reality chef contest Chopped, and he's also owner of the Scarpetta restaurant at the Fontainebleau Hotel here in Miami Beach, and he also has several other restaurants throughout the states, and also Toronto.
I believe so.
Yes. And his latest book is Bold Italian, and he's been giving us some tips on cooking great Italian food at home and telling us about behind the scenes at Chopped. But now, if you're going to be cooking at home, we have a dinner in minutes for you, and it's an Italian one today. So, Joe and Bonnie, you've been eating it?
Yes, ma'am.
And Fred, you got your lunch today.
I finally got a lunch. I'm so happy.
Well, you have to join us more often. It's a Northern Italian chicken gorgonzola with fresh linguine and sweet pimentos. Now, the Lombardy region of Northern Italy is known for its dairy products. And for this reason, this recipe, it coats, I have the gorgonzola sauce. It's coating the chicken, the boneless, skinless chicken breasts. So you just dredge those that chicken in flour and brown it in the skillet, and then take them out, and I put a little milk in the skillet, picking up the brown bits, and some gorgonzola cheese, and let that go to a nice smooth
and
sauce.
You can make dinner in minutes and 15 minutes? It sounds like you couldn't do
that. All you're doing is you're just putting the chicken in the pot, in the thing, cooking it for a couple of minutes per side. Take it out.
Yeah, they cook fast, the breasts.
Then you put the milk in with a little cheese and put the chicken back in. Get a nice tangy, just taste that tangy kind of gorgonzola sauce. And you could use any kind of blue cheese for the recipe at dinner in minutes. And then the side dish is very simple. You just buy some fresh linguine, cook it up, and toss it with some olive oil and some sweet pimento cut into strips. Well, that whole dish is at Dinner in Minutes with a photo, dinnerinminutes.com. And by the way, all of my recipes fit the government nutritional guidelines. And please follow me on Twitter at L. Gassenheimer. So how was it? Did you like it, Joe?
Yes, indeed. Piping hot, too.
Too much.
Very nice. Right. Very
too
nice.
Much tangy for you, huh? Okay. I don't know, Joe. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, you know, the great thing about Italian cuisine to me is that it varies so much from region to region. And the great thing about Italian wines is that they also vary greatly by region. And since the wines of a region have grown up for centuries with the cuisine of those regions, they tend to go very well together. The white wines of northeast Italy with the seafood of the Adriatic Sea, and the red wines of Tuscany with its cuisine, which goes from wild boar to the famous Florentine steak. And I was at an Italian tasting just a couple of days ago at Miami-Dade College's new Culinary Institute, which, by the way, is very fancy. And that demonstrated this. They had Master of Wine Laura Di Pasquale, who presented what she called the iconic whites of Italy. And two of them from northern Italy were particularly good with the seafood of the Venice region on the Adriatic Sea. One was something I'd never tried before, a sparkling Pinot Grigio. Linda, did you ever have a sparkling Pinot Grigio?
No. How do they sparkle it?
The same way they sparkle champagne. They just let it do a secondary fermentation in the bottle that creates carbon dioxide, and they trap it, and there it is. And it was very nice.
How was it? It was
light and lean and very zingy because of the bubbles, and it had kind of a grapefruit flavor. And it was a great wine for shellfish. And then another wine, which I had never had before, was a white from a grape called Ribolla Gialla, which is quite rare. And it's from the winery Conte d'Atimas in Friuli, which is way up north of Venice.
So this is a grape that only grows in that area?
In that area, yeah.
Yeah, it's cold.
That's kind of the home of it, and that's up in the Alpine foothills.
So I was going to say, it must be cold for grapes.
It is, yeah. It was fresh and lively, and it was actually more floral than fruity, but it would go really well with the shrimp scampi from the cafes of Venice or something like that. Then came the real wine, the Italian reds, which were presented by a well-known South Florida sommelier, Charlie Arturaola. I can never pronounce
Arturaola,
that.
Arturaola, yeah.
Arturaola. He presented a wonderful Brunello di Montalcino from Tuscany. And it was, this is a big, full-bodied, hearty wine from the Sangiovese grape. You might call it a Chianti on steroids.
And it was really a good one, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is very nice. And it's powerful and rich and the perfect complement for Tuscany's most famous, this is for you, Joe, a big red steak, the Bistecca Fiorentina, which is a steak that is grilled with olive oil and garlic and rosemary.
So I'm the chief garlic bore here.
Yeah, exactly. But they usually give it to you in a full kilo portion. That's 2.2 pounds. So you need to come hungry.
Joe. And he's complaining about my chicken with the gorgonzola sauce.
Yeah. Finally, Charlie presented a powerful red Barolo from Tenuta Careta, and it's made from the inky black powerful Nebbiolo grape in Piemonte, which is the foothills of the Alps, so it's in really cold territory. And it goes really well with the wild game that they hunt in the mountains. So each region has its own food and has its own wine. And the whole thing had me ready to move to Italy and buy an estate, except I'm a few million dollars short.
Scott Conan, what kind of Italian wines do you serve at your Scarpetta's?
We have a varied list in every restaurant because it's really important, like you said, to really match the food with the wine. We have a lot of people have come into the restaurant who have those estates in Italy, so we have a wide variety. And we also have people who want to experience those estates through the bottles of wine. So it's a lot of work that each sommelier in each store. I have a master somm actually in Las Vegas working for us, and he is just amazing. The amount of knowledge that he has, it's really exciting.
Sounds like a fun job.
Fred would like to join in there, I think. So, Scott, do you find that in your various restaurants, different regions of the United States, people ask for different types of food?
You know, fortunately, when people make their way into Scarpetta, they may have heard of us or they may know what they're kind of getting into. So we don't necessarily... I like to tap into the region of the where we are in each restaurant and really tap into the soul of that space, use local ingredients, use a lot of organic ingredients as well.
Does Las Vegas have a soul?
It's in there somewhere. You know, you'd be surprised. I don't know how much time you spent in Las Vegas, and for better or worse, I've spent a lot of time there with these restaurants. But, you know, it's a wonderful community, and when you meet people who are locals there, they really do have a great sense of that local space that they're really proud of, and they're trying to grow the downtown area. They're doing a lot of things in the community. I was involved with the Community Through Schools, which is a charity organization which keeps kids in school in Nevada in general. And it's really an interesting place, and the people, the natives, the locals are really wonderful.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And now you're going to be coming to Miami soon for the South Beach Food and Wine Festival. It's in about 2 weeks from now. That's February 21st through the 24th. So what will you be doing? We only have about 30 seconds left, but what will you be doing there at the festival?
Well, I'll be at the best of the best where at the Fountain Blue, where a bunch of great chefs and great wineries are all lined up and cooking some great, delicious food. We have a great porchetta that we're doing and pairing with wines throughout. It's just a great fun.
I was going to ask you what, so Scarpetta is going to be, for people who don't know, the best of the best is where lots of chefs from all over the United States come and they are serving up their foods.
And some really good wines.
And some, yeah, Fred always tells me about the wines there. Well, it's been a really tasty week here. It's Scott Conan. Thank you much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, he'll be at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival's Best of the Best. Fred, it's great to have you back in the studio with us.
Nice to be here.
All right. And Joseph and Bonnie, you ate well today.
Thank you very much for lunch, Linda, as usual.
Okay.
And great to see you, Fred.
Nice to see you, Bonnie.
He's here, and the worst snowstorms are coming up there, so good to have you.
I'm missing out, yeah.
Maybe he won't be able to get back.
Could be.
All right, well, next week we'll be talking with megastar Martha Stewart and celebrating Valentine's Day with some Moët Hennessy's cognac. How's that sound, Fred?
I'm ready.
We're going to have Martha Stewart on then.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, they're all of these people are coming in for the festival,
right.
So it's going to be a
Joe, that means you and I have to be correct.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.